Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you on this Monday, October the 26th, 2020, 18 minutes past the hour, and we've got a lot to do here this morning. It's just going to be me and you on the toll-free line today, but a lot of bits and pieces we need to pick up of things that have happened over the last few days. A very busy few days here at WWGH Radio. This past weekend, Friday, Thursday, last week, just a busy period, and we need to catch up on some stuff that we have not had a chance to catch up on. It's 8 days, by the way, 8 days from election 2020. Can you believe we are now under 10 days? For so long, we were saying under 20 days. Well, now we're under 10 days. How about that? It's approaching very quickly. 8 days. 1 week from tomorrow, election 2020. But a lot of other stuff because of that coming up here in Marion. We've got a big anniversary involving President Harding. Probably the biggest anniversary any of us will ever see in our lifetimes concerning President Harding coming up in 1 week, 7 days from today, 1 week, next Monday, and we'll tell you some things about that as time goes along. And also want to talk about the candidates night that we had here last Thursday night. We talked a little bit about it Friday morning, but there's some other stuff I wanted to say about that, as well as a trip to Cleveland I took this past weekend. And if you have seen the pictures on Facebook, if you are my friend on Facebook, I'm going to tell you about some of those, because this was a very, very unique experience, really not to parallel any other in recent weeks. But here's what, this is one of those things where I just ran out of time last week. I should have done this last week, but I'm going to do it now, and it's going to take about 10 minutes to do. I don't know how many of you remember the name James Randi. James Randi also went by the name The Amazing Randi. And what he did was, he was very popular for about 50 years on television. He was on the Johnny Carson show quite a bit. He was on Larry King quite a bit, and a ton of other shows as well, national shows. James Randi was by trade in his younger days a magician. And then somewhere along the line, he decided that he was going to start giving away the secrets to how the tricks were done. Now, he did not do this in a way that other people did it, where they just flat out give the trick. He just was trying to tell people, this is not real. Magic is magic. It's something different. I'm not really sure why he decided to do this, but that's what he kind of became known for. Then, through some strange turn of life events, toward the end of his life, his pursuit became to prove psychics and faith healers and people of that nature wrong. He wanted to expose them as frauds. And he would go on national television to do so. A matter of fact, there are he had an amount of money. I forget what it was. It might have been $1 million. It was a lot of money. And he always said if somebody could come to his center and go through a battery of tests and prove that they really were psychic or that they really were a faith healer, he would give them this money. Now, to my knowledge, that never took place, and most psychics and faith healers hated him, and they used to go on Larry King all the time with him in the 2000s, late 90s, 2000s, and they would argue about this, and there was even a famous episode where Sylvia Brown, who was a famous psychic at that time, who was appearing at the Montel Williams show, went on with James Randi, and They really got into it on Larry King's show, and it that's what he did. Okay, now why am I talking about this? Well, I'm talking about this because during this pandemic and I guess political time that we're in, a lot of news is happening that we are not getting reported because there's so much to report on otherwise. And last Thursday, I believe it was Thursday, James Randi died at the age of 92. Now, we hadn't heard from him in you know, probably 3 or 4 years. I'm not sure if he'd been ill. I'm not sure if he just decided to retire. Whatever it was, we really hadn't heard from him on the national scale in 3 or 4 years. Well, James was an interesting man, and I did an interview with him, and I pulled the date on this, July the 9th, 2015. So more than 5 years ago, he was on this program, James Randi. And James was a complicated man. And what I mean to say by that, and here's the thing, I have not listened to this whole interview probably since it happened 5 years ago. But here's what I remember about it. I remember that James, he kind of made his whole life in later years about exposing these faith healers and these magicians and these psychics. That was the goal of his life. But he was hiding things himself for many, many years. Now, some of those things, well, here's what I'm going to do. I have not heard this interview in over 5 years, but I know we talked about this stuff, and I know it made him very angry, which was kind of ironic to me because he used to make people angry by accusing them of being frauds, the psychics and the faith healers. So I remember broaching these subjects with him when we did this interview, the things that he was hiding. And I don't even know if he would have said he was hiding them. I don't know. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play, it's between 10 and 15 minutes of this interview. Now, I honestly, I kind of have listened to this little portion. This is not the whole interview. We talked about a whole lot of other stuff. But this is the part of the interview where things kind of got a little difficult and went off the track a little bit. I don't know that he disliked me after this interview, but I'm pretty sure he was not happy with this portion of the interview. I was happy with it because I thought the questions needed to be asked. So I'm going to let you listen on your own because it's a fascinating subject. And you tell me what you think, and maybe I'll see it differently because I'm going to listen along with you and see what I said 5 years ago. So this interview dates back to July the 9th, 2015. James Randi was the guest, and remember, James Randi passed away last week at the age of 92. So here we go. Go get 'em, James.
And the income.
A gentleman you really had a back and forth with was Uri Geller. Why, he's still around doing things. Is there ever a way to put them out of business totally?
Oh, no, because there are always people out there who will believe. And you saw that Geller appeared on the program, and the last thing he said on the whole film, as a matter of fact, he was selling some sort of crystal bracelets on eBay, I believe it was, that had supernatural powers. No, they'll never stop. They don't have to stop because they know that people can be fooled, and you can be fooled too.
A gentleman who has come to the light recently, now he doesn't call himself a psychic or anything of that nature. I think he calls himself a mentalist, is Lior Suchard. What do you make of him?
I know the name, but I have never met him, and I don't even know the kind of thing that he does. He's not familiar to me, so I can't really comment on that. But mentalism is a legitimate form of entertainment as long as it is sold as entertainment.
A gentleman who has been on this show several times is the amazing Kreskin, and he's been at it for years, and he calls himself a mentalist. He doesn't say psychic or anything. When he does this thing where he puts the presidential election in a box and puts it on a show, and then it turns out to be the winner, is that just playing the odds? What do you make of that?
No. He's sure that the answer is correct, because this is a standard routine in mentalism, you see. And I can't say much more about it, because I'd be revealing the secrets of the trade. And these people are entertainers, after all. Kreskin and I had a falling out many, many years ago. We haven't spoken in many years now, because he just keeps on insisting that he has genuine powers. He's actually been selling, are you ready for this, selling methods of winning the lottery. Now, if I had a method of winning the lottery, do you think I would sell it to somebody else? Come on, I would win the lottery by simply using the method.
You know, that's interesting, because if there is a trick to knowing, say, who's going to win a presidential election, without telling us the trick, why can't that also work in something like the lottery or horse racing or cards?
If it existed, sure, it could work if it existed.
Well, how does he know who's going to win the presidential election with a surety, but he can't know things like that?
Well, now you're looking for the professional secrets, and I'm sorry, I can't share those with you.
But there is a trick.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, this documentary, the other part of it that's very interesting is it does go into your personal life. And it's been interesting the last few years. March 21st, 2010, you came out publicly as being homosexual. How was that greeted at 81 years old?
Oh, well, as a matter of fact, that I didn't have any problem with that, because my friends have always known, my business associates have always known, and it's just part of my life. There was no problem with revealing the fact, and I did it because... My next book is An Honest Liar, and that will be coming out soon enough, and I just wanted to make sure that it would be properly accepted, and I wanted to level with folks. That's the way you do it.
When homosexuality was not as embraced as maybe it is today, were you ever shocked that none of these guys ever tried to use that against you?
Oh, no, that didn't happen. Much to my surprise and my delight, as a matter of fact, I found that people were accepted it and understood it, and it went right on with their lives. I didn't find any opposition to that at all.
What do you make of the things going on with the Supreme Court, the changing? Did you ever think you'd live to see the day where these things would happen?
Frankly, no. I thought that would probably happen well after my demise, but I was quite surprised and very, very pleased to see that it happened, because that's more understanding between people of different philosophies, and I think that's very important for us to accept.
Without going too deep into it, because again, we want people to see the documentary, but the other big part of it, and we touched on it earlier, is when you got a little angry during one of the interviews, dealt with your partner of 30 and more years, not exactly being honest about who he was. Was there fear in putting that in the documentary?
Well, there appeared to be at one point, because it was just fresh. I had just had the whole thing expounded to me, so I was a bit confused and I was rather shocked. But it was only a matter of hours after that I called them back and I said, no, warts and all, let's tell the story. I want to be honest about it.
The question they asked you that you got angry about was, did you know? Did you know? Do you still feel uncomfortable answering that?
Yes, I do, and I don't think it's anybody's damn business, frankly.
Is there a reason you feel uncomfortable?
Yes, because I'm uncomfortable with it. If somebody comes up and hits you in the nose, you feel uncomfortable about it, don't you? I mean, you don't have to have an explanation. I don't have to say, here's my nose, here's his fist, he did this. No, you don't have to have explanation for this sort of thing.
Because of the way a documentary is prepared, they go from that to other people's opinions. And again, people can see the documentary to see people's opinions. But is that a deception?
Is what a deception?
If you indeed did know about it, is that a deception?
Yes, of course it is. Yeah, come on. This is like asking, is red different from green? These are simple questions, my friend.
Well, there's
you can answer these for yourself. You don't have to ask me.
Well, I guess the main question then would be, if that's a deception, when you are making a career of the last few years of getting people who are doing deceptive things taken away or proven wrong, is that ironic? Is that wrong?
It might be ironic to some people. It isn't to me.
And that's a fair answer, I think. Do you think anything could ever change your mind aside from seeing people do this right in front of you?
And change my mind about what?
People, faith healers, psychics.
Oh, no, I've asked for the evidence for years now, and we've offered $1 million price for it. I'm waiting and waiting and waiting all these years. I'm 86 now, and I started this when I was a teenager. I'm waiting for the answer. I'm patient. Give me the answer and take $1 million.
Do you think people who do these sort of things, a few years ago we had Reverend Leroy Jenkins on here, and he brought up your name during the interview. Oh, bring Randy on, you know, he's not going to prove me wrong. Have people started to use you as a prop, do you think?
Oh, wait a minute. I don't try to prove anybody wrong. I just simply ask them to prove that they are the real thing.
Right.
You see, they're trying to turn it around, though. I have to prove that something doesn't exist. And that's an impossibility, logically speaking. You can't prove that something isn't in existence. Are there any yellow elephants out there? I don't think there are any yellow elephants, but if they say there are, show me a yellow elephant. It's that simple. But I don't have to prove that something doesn't exist. They have to prove that it does exist.
Do you think they use you as a prop in that way?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Does that annoy you?
No, I'm not annoyed by it. You're dealing with people who are not acting logically. They know they're not acting logically. They're arguing from premises that are unfair and incorrect altogether. And they know it, and the public should know it, and that's what I try to tell them.
When you look back at the career, what would you consider to be the high note? When you went home that day, man, I got it done today.
Oh, well, there have been many of those. I could spend another half hour with you on the telephone telling you all about them. But the pop-off thing was a major victory, of course. And Johnny Carson thought that it was a major victory as well. But we were both wrong because these are the unsinkable rubber ducks. They bounce right back. Because people don't listen to what we have to say.
If they are unsinkable, why continue? Just for that group that does?
Because one of them may sink.
Well, that being said, what has been the worst day? Has there been a day where something just didn't go as you planned and it really stunk?
Well, there were several cases where things didn't go as I planned, but eventually they did, and I'm ahead of the game. I'm up front on the thing. I'm certainly winning, there's no question of that, and otherwise there wouldn't be all the complaints and all the bitching from people out there who are saying they're not being believed.
It's interesting because I'm not really sure how to define what you do. How do you define it? Are author, magician, lecturer? What do you define yourself as?
I'm an honest liar.
And how would you define that? What is an honest liar?
An actor.
That being said, what do you say to the people who say that there have been deceptions in Randy's life and maybe he is just playing a part too because he can do it?
I say I don't much care. Go ahead.
Could there be any truth to it?
Truth to what? What
they're saying, if they say that.
Well, there might be. I don't know. I'll let you decide that. You're the consumer.
It's an interesting question, and that's why this is a fascinating documentary. And again, I want to let the audience know, it's a fascinating documentary. It's an honest liar, and it is available in a lot of great places, and DVD and Blu-ray. You will enjoy it without a doubt. How would you like to be remembered, Randy?
Well, somebody who tried to tell the truth to a lot of people. Some of them listened, and some of them didn't. The ones that did listen are grateful for my efforts and for my having been here. And I'm satisfied that I have been of great use to a lot of people. Not everyone, no, but a lot of people have been relieved of their delusions because of my existence.
Do you regret anything you've done?
Oh, yes, how much time have you got?
Well, we got a couple minutes.
Well, I don't have a list of them here. I could perhaps get a list together if you want. These are very general questions, you know. Did you ever regret anything? Come on. That's not the kind of question you ask, because it's open-ended and it can never be answered.
Those are the type of questions we want, though. We don't want yes-no questions.
Yeah, well, you want the answers. You don't want the questions.
That's
you
right.
Have the questions.
So is there a regret that sticks out in your mind?
No, not particularly, no. There have been things that I've regretted in my life, but again, that would be a list that would go on forever, for years.
And you'll keep on keeping on?
Oh, yes, as long as I possibly can.
Do you like being referred to as the Amazing Randy?
Yes, I chose that title many years ago.
I tell you, like I said at the top of the program, it's a great documentary, and I've wanted to have you on for a long time, and I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have, because I think it's a fascinating conversation to have.
Well, thank you.
James Randy, thank you so much, and we'll look for the next book to come out, and I hope you come back when it does come out.
Invite me. I'll be ready.
Hey, thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
The Amazing Randy, James. And there you go. That's an interview we did with the Amazing Randy on this program, James Randy, on July the 9th, 2015. And James Randy passed away last week at the age of 92. Now, I had not heard that in over 5 years, and I still find it fascinating. We all knew that James Randy's mission in life the last 20 or 30 years was to prove the faith healers, the psychics, all wrong. But when it came to his life, when it came to his sexual orientation, when it came to somebody that he was in a relationship of the same sex, who he was trying to hide from authorities, he ended up being somebody who was a little deceiving himself. And I'm not laying this all on Randy, and I think you could tell he got a little touchy there about that. And that's okay. James Randy was not the most even-tempered man. But those questions had to be asked, and I hope you enjoyed that piece of audio footage from more than 5 years ago. Does anybody have a thought about that footage or James Randy in general? Do you remember him? Somebody asked us if we had the interview, and I said, yeah, we have the whole interview. It's like 45 minutes long. But give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or does anybody have a thought about that whole subject altogether about proving people wrong, the psychics, the faith healers, so on and so forth? That's what James Randi wanted to do. And, you know, he wasn't sure if it was irony or not that his life was spent trying to prove other people wrong for deceptions that maybe they had done, but he had his own deceptions in his life that he was not necessarily honest about, hence the title of the documentary, An Honest Liar, which was very, very fascinating. A great documentary, which I believe, I'm sure you can still get a copy of it, James Randi's An Honest Liar. Kind of goes through his life, but also this whole situation with him in which he held things close to the vest for so long. I remember him as somebody I always wanted to have on because I'd seen him in a lot of places, and I thought what he did was very unique, trying to prove people wrong, and a lot of people would bring him up. I remember interviewing the late Reverend Leroy Jenkins many times, and he would bring Randy up, come on, I'll prove me wrong, so on, so forth, and they did that, but he did not. He talked about having an outing with the Amazing Kreskin there. He talked about having an outing with Uri Geller. He talked about the outing with Leroy Jenkins. So he had his his outings with people over the years. All right, any thoughts on this subject? We did play the footage, and that was asked by listeners, so we wanted to do that. And I wanted to mark the passing of him because I don't remember every interview perfectly, but I do remember that one because I remember just the irony of the whole thing, that somebody whose life is about pointing out inconsistencies in other people's life is full of inconsistencies. And I believe that's true to this day. I believe that if you know somebody who is trying to go after somebody and you can't really figure out why they're doing it, I think if you look deep enough in their life, you'll find some inconsistencies in their life. And that's why they're doing it. There's a lot of bitter there. There's a lot of angst because they are hiding stuff themselves. I've always felt that because I have never felt the need to expose anybody because I don't think there's anything I'm hiding. So why would I need to expose anybody? But I think people who are hiding things have to expose other people, because if they can expose them, true or not, whether it's true or not, it gets attention away from them. You know, it's look at the yellow giraffe over there in the corner. Don't look at me. So that was James Randi, in my particular opinion, but he did die last week at the age of 92, and we mark that passing because he was a guest on this program July the 9th, 2015. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a call, and we can put you up on the air. Would love to talk with you this morning. Now, another thing I'd like to mention, and if at any time you want to chime in on that subject, feel free to chime in on it. Another thing that I want to do is thank the Marion Star. Now, many of you know we had our local candidates night here last Thursday night. For that event, Matt Bales, Jessica Wallace, Rob Coons, Tara Dyer, and Lynn Thomas all showed up, candidates for county commissioner, clerk of courts, the current clerk of courts, and candidate for sheriff. And Ben Lanka from the Marion Star was here asking questions. Andrew Carter was here from the Marion Star taking pictures. And the crew here at WWGH Radio really made that happen. Sean Kraft ran sound. Terry Tackett booked the event and took phone calls that night. Angie Evers ran sound, ran the time clock for us. So it was all great on Thursday night. And I knew a story was coming because the Marion Star was here. And they ran a story on it with pictures in the Saturday edition of the Marion Star. And I want to thank them for that because it was a very good article. And I did send them a letter thanking them for their coverage. Because sometimes you get good coverage and sometimes you get bad coverage. But the coverage from the Marion Star was very, very good. And if you read Saturday's paper, I hope you got a feel for what went on here on Thursday night if you were not in attendance on Thursday night. So I thank the Marion Star for that article. I thank the Marion Star for mentioning that the radio station put it on and that the radio station was a part of it. It was just a well-written article, and I think Andrew Carter wrote the article. So I thank Andrew Carter for writing that particular article. It was it gave a great insight. You know, the whole event was 2 hours long, without any break, and each candidate got their own little section in the newspaper article. And what's fascinating about me is, to me about that is, when you're writing that, you have to pick one area to quote them on, because you have six candidates that you want to, you know, talk about. So you can't write every answer that they gave over the course of 2 hours. And I thought they all were mentioned exactly how they should have been, and I think the best quotes were picked out to use in the newspaper articles. So I think Andrew Carter did a tremendous job with that, and I think Ben Lenka, who was here on Thursday night, did a tremendous job as a co-host of sorts during that debate candidates forum. So I thank them for that. And by the way, if you want to hear it, it is on the website now, wwgh1071.com. Just go under the program archives and you can listen to the entire two-hour event in its entirety if you want to learn who you're going to vote for. Now, did anybody happen to listen to that event last Thursday or catch the article in the Star on Saturday? And if so, what did you think? Because we're getting down to crunch time here. We are 8 days away from the election. Now, a lot of us see this as a very presidential election, but there are local candidates, local issues. We have a sheriff's race. We have a clerk of courts race. We have two county commissioner races. We have some issues, levies, so on and so forth. What matters to you this election? We spend so much time talking about the presidential election that it worries me a little bit because I wonder how much attention is being focused in on these local elections, because local does matter a lot to us in the community. Did you learn anything from Candidates Night? Did you learn anything from the article that was in the newspaper on Saturday, again, which we thank the Marion Star for? Were you able to... who do you think did well on Thursday night? Who do you think did not do so well? Did it change any minds about who you're going to vote for? That is fascinating to me. I did get a message. I believe it was Thursday night or Friday. It might have been right after the candidates' night. I got a message from somebody who's, and I'm not going to say who, but they said that one of the candidates did not answer a particular question right off the bat. Now, I think they did end up answering the question on Thursday night when we were on the air, but because they did not answer it the way the listener thought they should have answered it, that this person would not vote for them. So there's that. It does happen. Any thoughts on any of these local elections? Candidates night here on Thursday night, or really the whole election altogether, or the newspaper article on Saturday? Give me a buzz 50 minutes past the hour on this Monday morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Don't forget, mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lipp comes up right after this program this morning, 10:10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Then we have Voice of a People with Linda Sims today from 4:10 to 5 p.m. and the Mike Wilson Show from 5:10 until 6 p.m. So a full day of programming here on WWGH Radio, and we certainly enjoy that. So any thoughts on the election or any thoughts on James Randi, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Also heard that Harding won Friday night football. I think we got that report as we were going off the air Friday night. Can you believe that Harding pulled it off on Friday? I was under the impression that they were probably not going to win that game Friday. I can't remember who they played. I had it written down. I want to say it was it Worthington? I think it began with a W. I believe it was Worthington. But it was my understanding that Harding probably should not have won this game, which I think they did. So I guess we send our best thoughts to Harding, who was able to pull it off on Friday night. Does anybody know about that game? It didn't start until after 9 o'clock. There was a big delayed start because of the storm that blew through town on Friday night. Was it Worthington that Harding played, and was anybody shocked that they were able to win this game? Like I say, it was my understanding that this was not a game that they were likely to win. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I believe there's only 1 week now left of high school football playoffs. I think it's just next week, next Friday, this Friday, I guess. And then we're kind of done with that. And I don't know at this point that if any Marion County teams are in contention for any further play. The way it's been done this year is very strange. Certainly not like past years because of the pandemic. How this whole playoff process has been happening is certainly different. And I believe the playoffs do end this Friday night. And then it moves on to, I guess, a championship. But I'm not sure how that's done, and I'm not sure how that's being picked, who will be in the championship. And I don't believe at this point that any Marion County teams will be in the championship because of records. Now, I could be wrong. I don't really know that for a fact. But I do know that all county schools and city schools in Marion have either lost in the playoffs at some point or opted just not to play anymore, which I guess you could do in this pandemic year, which normally would not have been a thing. But everything changes as time goes on. 740-383-9944, if you have any input on this. Do you know anything about the game Friday night that Harding played? Do you know anything about the River Valley game Friday night? I think there was a River Valley game Friday night, far as I know. I don't think Pleasant is playing anymore. I think they have kind of wrapped it up for the season. Ridgedale, I don't know what's going on out there at this point. So if anybody knows about any of these other schools, Elgin, let me know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I want to save talk about Cleveland until next hour because it's a bigger story and it's going to take more time to tell than the time we're allotted in this particular segment. Now, one thing I do want to mention, and I hope people are getting into this in some way, that 1 week from today, November the 2nd, 2020, will be the 100th anniversary of President Harding being elected. 100th anniversary of President Harding being elected is 1 week from today, November 2nd, 2020. He was elected November 2nd, 1920. So, my question to you is, what do you hope to see happen? I mean, we're in this pandemic, so a lot of things that probably would happen are not going to happen. We're going to try to do some things here on the air next Monday that revolve around this, because it's a big deal. And in our lifetime, we are not going to see a seminal anniversary like this involving President Harding. You know, chances are, if we're alive right now, we do not remember his election 100 years ago. And chances are, if we're alive right now, we are not going to be here on the 200th anniversary in 2120. So this is our anniversary that we're going to get to see in our lifetime regarding President Harding. The election anniversary is probably more significant than any other anniversary he has. You know, I know there are anniversaries regarding his birthday. There are anniversaries regarding his death day. There are anniversaries revolving around his inauguration. But the election was the big one, because the election was probably the most shocking that he won. Not that I think he was favored to win by the time the election came around in 1920, but it wasn't a sure thing, and he was not really the Republicans' number one choice at the convention in 1920. It was a very long convention. It was a very, I think, what you would call a brokered convention to get him to be the nominee. So it was different. And we were coming off a Democratic president in Woodrow Wilson. It was the first election presidential that women had the right to vote in. So a lot of significance around that 1920 election, which happened November 2nd, 1920. So 1 week, November 2nd, 2020, will be the 100th anniversary of that. And as I say, we will cover that here on this station and try to have events very special to that. And timing is everything, that we would be in another presidential year, and that it would happen the very next day. that November 3rd is Election Day, November 3rd, 2020. So you have the anniversary of Harding's election on Monday, November the 2nd, 2020, and then you have the election of 2020, November 3rd, the very next day. So next Monday and Tuesday will be very, very busy. So prepare for that. But is there anything you would like to see or anybody you would like to hear from in regard to President Harding's big anniversary? Because we can probably make that happen in the next 7 days. There's a lot of material around in regard to President Harding that we can come up with. So, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944. If there's something of significance to you that you would like to see or you would like to hear next Monday, or at some point before next Monday. We have something already planned that's already taped that I'm going to tell you about next hour, because it took place this past weekend in Cleveland, a very unique thing. And if you have been on my Facebook page, you probably already know what that is. But I'm going to go in depth in that next hour a little further, because it takes some explaining, and I want to do that as we discuss this 100th anniversary coming up next Monday. All right, so we thank the Marion Star for their coverage of Candidates Night. We have talked about the 100th anniversary of President Harding's election coming up 1 week from today, next Monday. We remembered the amazing Randy, who passed away last week at the age of 92. We're going to talk about a trip to Cleveland that I took next hour. So if there's anything on your mind, give us a buzz. We have a couple minutes here before we go to the next hour. Quiet morning this morning. You know, I think as it gets cooler, the cool weather certainly came in on Saturday. We had very nice weather last Thursday, Friday. Really, Wednesday was not bad either. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday last week, we had nice weather. And Saturday, the colder weather certainly did blow in and is now sticking with us. Rain and cold. It's a thing, that's for sure. So anything on your mind outside of anything we have talked about so far, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Would love to hear from you this morning. It's always interesting to talk about what's going on. Are you excited for this election to be over in 8 days? You know, I know the interview on 60 Minutes with President Trump and Leslie Stahl was supposed to happen last night. I didn't even get a chance to watch it. I was kind of busy last night. I haven't seen it. I haven't even seen any excerpts from it. That's how, I guess, out of it I was on that particular piece of business that was going on. Maybe I'll have to watch it. I'm sure it's on YouTube or somewhere today and see what went on. Did anybody watch the interview last night with President Trump on 60 Minutes with Leslie Stahl that can fill us in on this? I know it got an awful lot of attention. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you watched this and thought anything of it, give me a buzz here real quick before we break for news and weather and all that other good stuff. Again, mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp comes on right after this program today, 10:10 till 11 a.m. I believe there actually is going to be a special Voice of the People today live from 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. Then there'll be Voice of the People in its regular time slot, 4:10 until 5 p.m. today, and the Mike Wilson Show, 5:10 until 6 p.m. today. So don't miss any of those shows, and you can always listen on the internet, wwgh1071.com, or on any mobile device by downloading the free TuneIn app, absolutely free, and searching WWGH. I will be back in about 10 minutes.
Hello, Mahoney. No, I don't think you can beat that dream. I win the